All right, we're going to get started this morning. We have Pastor Fred Ruby. He's going to be doing the lesson. And Pastor Ruby has been in ministry since 1986. In 2004, they assisted here, him and his wife Norma, assisted here in Prescott. Long-term ministry, effective ministry. Let's open our hearts and turn it over to Pastor Fred Ruby.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you. Pastor Jesse, I also thanks to Pastor Greg, who's not here, but it's an honor, you know, because we see this is the engine room of the whole fellowship vision for discipleship and church planting. And I have one today that I think is a prerequisite to anybody who's going to survive ministry and really life, but just if we're talking about ministry, is how you behave around women. And this is a little more complicated, I think, than sometimes we understand. It's one of the reasons why I think guys get in trouble. But I have a lesson today I call "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural He-Man." You make me feel like a natural He-Man. And it's a way a woman can make a man feel. And this comes from the text in Proverbs 30:18. And you'll see here that he's explaining natural phenomena. And one of his natural phenomena is the way a man and a woman feel or interact around each other. So this is the NIV. He says, "There are three things that are too amazing for me." Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18. Proverbs 30, verse 18. "There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand: the way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a young woman." And so he's talking about natural phenomena now. And he's saying these things happen in nature, and there's a biological manifestation here that's beyond the simple intentions of a person. This stuff's happening. And he says, but when "I'm looking at again, an eagle in the sky, a snake on a rock, a ship on the high seas, and a way a man acts around a girl." And I want to emphasize something here. There's a biological, natural phenomena dimension to this. It's beyond just, you know, somebody lusting, which is a big problem, or someone just having an infatuation they shouldn't have. It's a precursor to all of that. So let me start with a story, because when I say this, a lot of people think, "Well, I'm not a kid. What does this mean to me?" Well, listen. A few years back, a 70-year-old retired pastor by the name of Byron Martin from Maine was arrested in Spain, is now serving time in a Spanish prison for trying to smuggle a large quantity of cocaine into the country. He said, "Well, that doesn't make sense. Why would a retired pastor in his 70s try to smuggle cocaine into Spain?" Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. After his wife died, Pastor Martin found himself on online on a dating app, and he makes a connection with a very attractive 30-something-year-old Spanish girl, who says that she's interested in him and he's special. You know how it goes, and she just said, "I really, really want you to meet you. Please come to Spain. Please come to Spain and see me." And so he's getting drawn in by all of this. She goes, "But if you could just pick up a teeny weeny little package for me, that would be such, you know, I would be so grateful." And so this man being led, you know, you think 70 years old, you think he knows something about this, does exactly what she asked him to do, you know, goes to Barajas Airport in Madrid and going through customs thinking he just has a little package. And there it is, a package of cocaine for this girl. And the man is in jail, and it says, listen to what his son said. His son is actually campaigning to get his dad released. "My dad is a retired pastor. He never drank, never smoked, didn't chase women, and didn't swear. He was too trusting of people to the point of being gullible." That's partly true, but the other side of it, he was a man around a young woman and couldn't handle the interaction. And people, you must understand, women really do have power. It doesn't mean they're all evil and they're all trying to seduce you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a biological reality to this. when you get around women, especially in the flower of their youth. Women, the word is nubile. That nubile woman is a woman who's in a point in life where her body says, I want to have a baby. I want to have a baby. And these women have influence and power. And they get around men. Men pick this up. I don't know the science to all of this, but they talk about pheromones that people are giving, you know, information, basically, about their biological reality. And Sam saying, Solomon is telling us, there's a phenomena here. You get a man around a woman, better be careful. You ever put a baking soda in vinegar? You know? And that's a reality. And I'm telling you something. I've worked with youth over the years. And this is something that you begin to realize right away. A lot of you, that it's not that people are looking for trouble. It's not that they're looking for an immoral relationship. But there's a biological dimension to they get around. Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. You know, they're all bubbly and intense. And so there's an old song I want to quote here. Some of you old guys remember this. This is actually a song was written before I was born, but it actually, you might recognize it. It was called Chantilly Lace. Now let me tell you, let me give you the words to it. Chantilly lace and a pretty face, a ponytail, a hanging down, that wiggle in the walk, a giggle in the talk, makes the world go round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl that makes me act so funny, makes me spend my money, makes me feel real loose like a long-necked goose. Oh, baby, that's what I like. And so this guy is actually describing an amazing description. He's saying exactly what Solomon said. He's saying you get around some girls and the way they make you feel, they're loose and, you know, they have this energy that can really catch you off balance if you're not careful. And one of the reasons I felt the need to talk about this is because I think one of the precursors to having a strong moral position is understanding what you're dealing with. Because if you think, oh, I'm just too good for that, or I'm so safe for that, watch out. You could get blindsided by this biological impact and reality. There's a Jewish proverb that says, if anyone brings a beautiful captive home, he brings Satan into his house, and his son will be destroyed. Now, what's that talking about? It's saying that this girl has incredible power. Power that you don't even understand. This is why you don't do this in your family. Just play games with these kinds of living arrangements, right? Because there's too much influence, too much power. And I think it's a powerful idea. Years ago, most of you guys wouldn't realize this. Some of you older guys would. It used to be a staple joke in comedy sketches and TV shows, of a good, committed husband and father getting thrown off balance when a beautiful girl walks into the room. Not like a lustful man, a good man, a good father, a good husband, someone who's really, you know, usually the main character in the show. But it was a comedy that you'd see this repeat all the time. Suddenly there's this beautiful, voluptuous woman in the room and he can't concentrate, you know, he can't focus. His wife's wondering, what's going on with you? And, you know, he's just trying to get through the moment. You know, I shared this in London, and there was a brother who gave me some feedback. He's an HR manager. You know, he's a professional guy. He's a good man. In the church he was in, I think he's even on the council. And he said that, you know, what happens is people start talking, right? They start sharing their reaction. He said he was doing his job and scheduled interview. This girl's going to come in, and she walks in just playing it up, man. You know, shaking and baking through the door, you know, wiggling and jiggling, sits down, and he says she was really beautiful. Like, she was playing it to the hilt, though. And he said suddenly he got a bad case of dyslexia. You know, he couldn't read. He said he started, his temperature went up. He had to go to the bathroom, splash his face, and came back and said, okay, God, I'm going to get through this. But it was so funny because he's explaining a truth that if you're honest, men can relate to that. Sometimes there's just a reality. You have to be really careful. One of the things I really appreciated about Pastor Mitchell is that he had little sayings for these kinds of things. And what he was doing is just acknowledging that this is a reality, guys, and you have to be aware of it, because if you're not, you're going to get blindsided. And it says in Proverbs 26, it says something like, reduced to a crust of bread. A woman has power, man. She can reduce you to a crust of bread if you're off balance. And you. And so here's the thing. Let's see. I'm going to go here about 20 minutes and we'll talk. But there's some, let's just compare this to his lessons from nature, right? The first lesson from nature is the eagle. So the eagle has that soar, an eagle in the skies, that soaring. A girl, a woman, a female, can make you, can give you that soaring feeling. It's really true. You have these guys, man, that, you know, I just feel alive. I just feel young again. Because you're talking about an actual, it's not just them being poetic. There's something about that interaction, if you're not careful, that gives that guy that pickup. And this is why these relationships at work and that kind of thing have to be clearly managed, because you can run into somebody that's gonna and get along, and all of a sudden you feel like, oh, whenever she's around, I'm up. Whenever I go home to my wife, I'm down. I go up, I'm down. And a woman has the power to give you that feeling. Why do you think all that music is out there? People writing about this stuff all the time. This. They're not just, what I'm saying is, they're not just making it up. They're describing something. They're describing a phenomenon. Proverbs 6, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes and not be burned? You cannot toy with this sort of thing. Listen, I know terrible stories over the years. One of the sad things about being in ministry a long time is you hear a lot of bad stuff. And so there was a situation, I'm going to share a story. A youth leader who, I personally, this is just me, I do not like to put single guys in charge of youth groups. And it's not just because I think they're all bad. It's because the girls will gravitate to them. And then all the guys will hate them because the girls are gravitating to this one guy. But anyway, this guy, I knew him, had a massive ego. And that's another thing, a gym guy, you know. There's nothing wrong with going to the gym, but he was one of those guys. This 16-year-old girl, he was 24, girl 16. And again, there's that natural phenomena. She doesn't have a dad at home. He's the most amazing thing. And him, instead of picking up that this girl is really just vulnerable, he thinks it's because he's so amazing that she just can't help herself. And so one night, she says, "She can I have a ride home?" And she waits around. He takes her home. It's a long distance too, and they end up having sex. And the mom says, "No, I don't send my daughter to the youth group to have sex with the youth leader." And he did 3 years for statutory rape. It was a very had a devastating impact on the church. But, you know, it was one of those things that should have and could have been avoided 100 times before it happened, if people were thinking straight. But you just assume, they get it. No, they don't. I tell you what, be careful. These girls have power. She was a cute little 16-year-old girl just bubbling over with power over this guy. And this is the thing. You find yourself, overwhelmed and lifted up. Here's the next phenomena was the snake creeping, creeping on the rock. And so here's another thing you can apply to this. This is what girls will make you do. If you're not careful, infatuation for a girl will turn you into a creep. Literally. You know, that's the reason they use that word, creep, is because people that play the down low, play behind the scenes, move in the shadows, and in the cuts, as they say, and we're amongst men, you know, we're very involved in ministry here, our fellowship, impact teams, dramas going on the road. You know, some bad stuff can happen in those environments. People start creeping behind the scenes. They start creeping. They start texting. Some guy texts him out of Tucson. Somebody texts somebody. Somebody else's wife, impact team, going to minister, texted him, man, I just have feelings for you. That creeping, man. And they're seeing each other in these places. You're trusting that this is ministry. This is the drama team. This is, and no one would ever think, are you kidding? You're talking about natural phenomena here. Emotions, people start connecting. And then people turn into creeps. It says in 2 Timothy, literally, and talking about people in church, among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins, led away by various passions. Talking about people sensing that vulnerability. I'm sure the pastors here would know this, but the certain people find each other in church, don't they? they have a locator. That GPS, man. They somehow synchronize the GPS. But he says they sneak in and they creep and they sense and they know where the vulnerabilities are and they shift over there. And we understand that, you know, in the world they call these people players, but in the church they're called creeps. They're creeping in church. And, you know, it's not just single girls. It could be married women, but they're always playing it, playing the game. I'll move on here. And then the last one, I call the seasick feeling. It says the way of a ship upon the sea. There's people, when they get infatuated and caught up, man, they're willing to do some crazy stuff. Crazy, senseless things. You know, men will kill for women. See, one of the most dangerous things that can ever happen is a young, beautiful woman realize the kind of power she has over a man. She could be dangerous. I had a woman testify one time, and she, you know, it was the hippie days stuff, and she said she was messing around with dudes, and then she realized something. Wait a minute, they're having all the fun, and I'm going to turn this thing on its head. And she began to realize how much power she had over men. She could make them fight. You know, she could make guys fight. She could do all kinds. She could, and they literally can make them rob and steal and kill. And they do sometimes. And when if a girl figures that out, man, she is like dangerous, because she has real power. Don't you get it? She has real power. This is what Solomon is saying. She has real power. And this is why a man who's going to be moral, you have to understand how this dynamic works. It doesn't mean, let me just say this again, it doesn't mean that she's trying, every nubile young girl is trying to seduce you. That's a wrong mentality. A lot of times, they just don't, they're overstepping their boundaries and they don't know what they're doing. They're just too gushing. You know how some girls can, they gush. Girls can gush. They can even gush to preachers. And so, let me give you another story from Tales from the Crypt here. This had to do with the pastor. He's a good guy. And I know him well. But he's doing well now. But many years ago, he young, having a revival, you know, and they bring this 16-year-old girl into the home, you know, oftentimes. She didn't live with them, but she was there all the time watching their small children, 16, 17-year-old girl, maybe older. I think she was at least 18. Anyway, the reason I say that, I don't think he was trying to commit a crime. That's my point. But she was gushing, a gushing tale. Pastor, did I tell you? Oh, pastor. And he starts feeling like, she's into me. You know, she's into me. And at the same time, he was having this really troubled season with his wife. You know, always tense, things are hard, always arguing. And one day, this girl was there at the house, and the wife wasn't there, and she had been watching the kids, and he's there alone with her. And he just takes her by the arm and says, you know what, I feel the same way you do. I feel the same way you do. Let's just do this. Let's just do this. It's me and you. And the girl just freaked out. She's she grossed out. He thought this girl was into him, but she really wasn't. She probably was in some one sense that he was like amazing to her, but she wasn't sexually attracted to him like that. But she was giving off all the vibes to him that she was. Do you see what I'm saying here? And he embraced her like, let's just do this. Let's just go, baby. And the girl like, no. First thing he does, call his pastor. You know, next thing you know, the guy's 2 years under discipline, and he did quite well. And they never, nothing ever happened, not a kiss or anything, but just the idea that he misread it, thought this bubbly young girl must think I'm just so amazing. And in reality, it wasn't that way at all. So the guys get that idea, but you lose your head, see? You lose your head. And you lose your head, and all kinds of bad things happen. So let me just end with this, instead of belaboring this. Yeah, the whole issue with you and I is that we need dominion in our behavior around women. Just dominion. It doesn't mean you don't think and feel. In fact, I'm actually saying you're going to think and feel. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's dominion. My grandson, he just turned 16. And I like to take him for a little ride. And he goes, hey, can I talk to you, granddad? Yeah. Man, I'm crazy about this girl. You just start to, she's so pretty. And I said, yeah, God made women real pretty, didn't they? Yeah, man, she's so pretty. But she likes somebody else. And how do you deal with it? And so I'm able to tell him, yeah, well, it's okay. So you're only 16. You can't get married. Do you have a job? Do you have a house? No, then it's okay to like somebody, but you just gotta get dominion on how you feel about these things, and your feelings are gonna change anyway. So you know, I'm not trying to tell them bad you. I'm just saying, yeah, okay, fine, but you better learn how to deal with this, right? About dominion. So for all men, whatever age, you can be a 70-year-old retired pastor. It doesn't matter. Number one, you gotta get dominion in your mind. It says in Colossians, set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. And so you have to think spiritually. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about that this morning, thinking spiritual. One of the best marriage classes I ever have been in was many years ago. It was an exercise in biblical thinking and right thinking. And basically, the guy had papers, paper and pencils passed out to everybody there. And he said, write in one page what it would be like for you to have to go home and tell your wife you had been unfaithful. Describe the scene. You know, obviously, it's fictional, hopefully, but he's saying, write down what it would be like for you to go home and tell your wife you've been unfaithful. Imagine how that would look like. And I was one of the scariest exercises I've ever done. But you know, I realized, you know what it was about? It was about thinking right. Like, this is what really happens, getting your mind right on something. This is how it really goes. This disaster is really the result of this. You understand what I'm saying? Because I was talking about fantasy yesterday in the marriage retreat. Fantasy just leads you down this big lie, but you have to, the antidote for fantasy is thinking correctly, right? No, this is what really gonna happen. Is she gonna get the butcher knife, frying pan? How's it gonna go? I don't know how it's gonna go. But can you imagine writing a scenario of what it would be like? You have to go home and tell your wife you've been cheating? Man, that's scary, isn't it? But you have to think that way, because that's really what's going to happen, or worse, maybe. The mind. The second thing is the eyes. I love this verse because it's honest, but it's the truth. Job said, 31:1, he says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. Now, let's analyze that for a second. The idea that I made a covenant with my eyes. In other words, a man has to tell, yeah, you and your eyes have to talk. Like, we can't do this, right? There are beautiful women in the world, and your eyes are, listen, do they sell toothpaste, you know, with pictures of a vase of roses? Or do they sell toothpaste with a beautiful girl? I mean, this this is the real world that we live in, right? So in order to overcome this, you have to get dominion with your eyes. You know, the thing about, we have a lot of Muslims in England, lots. Just, and, you know, these guys think they're going to affect holiness by wrapping their women up like mummies, you know, in burqas. They don't want to. Like, they're putting all the responsibility right on the woman. Wrap yourself up like a, and so we can maybe see your eyeballs. And then maybe I won't lust, you know. But Christianity is the other way around. You take care of your problem. You handle your business, right? And so the third one and the last one is hands. 1 Corinthians 7:2. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And so we know exactly what he's talking about here. He's talking about touchy-feely guys. And one of the most important things you got to do is learn how to control your hands. I'm not saying you got to be paranoid, you know, but at the same time, you got to understand the power of a touch. And he's talking about people that are just loose with their hands. They're just loose. They just, hey, girl, come on. You know, see these guys always touching girls or pulling their ponytails or whatever, you know, those guys, they're always touching them. And those touches are actually are meaningful. You know, touching, they say little things like touching the elbow. Doesn't mean like they're out and out molesting the girl, but they're always touching them. Touching the shoulder, touching the arm, you know, pulling the hair a bit and laughing and they're kidding. You know, all those things, those are sensuous advances, whether you realize it or not. You know, a friendly hug. I'm not, I don't have any positions on all that. But I do know there's a difference between people that are touchy-feely. A touchy-feely person is actually, in a lot of ways, they're actually feeling out the scene with you know, like touch. You know, Tim LaHaye, he teaches this. I don't know where he got this idea. He taught a lot on marriage. Well, it was one of his main things, in addition to the last day stuff. But he said, if a man wants, some guys, you might want to listen to this. If a man wants his wife to be intimate with him, and he really would, he should touch her 11 times a day. Now, I don't know how he came up with 11. If he was in a lab with lab coats and clipboards, and somehow they were, I don't know how they tested that. But he said 11 times a day, if a man wants his wife to be warm and intimate with him in the evening, that he should, in other words, he's saying a man should always touch his wife, you know, gracefully touch. That should be part of your gestures toward your wife. But take that idea and extrapolate that to guys just touching women.
Right.
You know, in general. Or you, a girl you see all the time, hey, how you doing? You know, hey, yeah, you know. And I'm telling you, a lot of times it's not overtly sensuous. It's not like he's molesting her. But it's just the touches, the warmth. So you have to be very careful with that. And a man, Paul says, it's not good for a man. Don't make that part of your routine where you pat girls and it's not good. And because that can lead you to some very bad things. So dominion your mind, your eyes, and your hands. And so I'm going to go ahead and stop it right there. And I know that I think Pastor Greg said there should be time for discussion. So let's just leave it at that. She makes me feel like a natural He-Man.
I'm thinking of in the arena of yourself is right now you're in ministry, but then also outside of ministry, just in the day-to-day life, like a disciple at work. As you've gotten older, what comes to mind is ways that you've protected yourself and guarded yourself in this arena?
Well, then I'll first start with Winston Churchill's quote here. He said it. He said, as you get older, he says, it's easier to resist temptation because temptation will resist you, you know. But the point is, I mean, I'm not walking into situations where it's like, ladies, you know what I'm saying? But I would just say this, that for me, you just have to keep your relationships straight, you know. And, you know, I do go into the same places a lot where I live, right? We see a lot of young women, and young Eastern European women are the ones who work at all the shops, you know, in London. And I'll tell you, some of them are beautiful. I guess Trump figured that out. but a lot of them too, you know, that they're there to make a life, and so they think they're in their minds they're sussing out money, who's here, why are you there, you know what I mean? I could see that there could be men that could be easily played in that environment, and they can be very friendly. So you're right; you have to have a right good testimony. They know your pastor. You know what I mean? You get to know people. But that's for me being a pastor. That's really a safeguard. I'm a pastor. Oh, really? Because I travel and I'll be that. We haven't seen you for a while. Well, I was at a conference. You know what I mean? And so you let the story be known that you're not in that arena. But there would definitely be older men there that could probably at least for until the girl gets her visa.
You could pick her off, you know.
But after she gets her visa, he will not be, he will not, probably, she won't be around very long. It's a good question. That's a really good one.
So, Pastor, when you begin to sense that in a woman, what are the practical steps you take?
I can apply it, first of all, from ministry. Norma and I, some of you guys remember, we always gravitated to the youth, even when we were pastoring in our own churches. And so this is where I really begin to figure it out. They're just, these girls are just needy, right? They don't have a dad at home, and they have a role model, and they just gravitate. And so I knew right away, it's not you, it's what you represent. This is why a couple in youth ministry is so powerful, because what they really want is what you have. You know, if they see a good family, they love young couples with small kids. They're tremendous youth workers, because you're role modeling what they want in life, right? What they could have if you're doing well. But so my thing with my wife, we have an agreement. If a woman treats my wife well, then she has more access to me. But if she's like to my wife, talk to the hand, you know, and yet pastor, she's not going to have a lot of access to me. That's kind of our understanding. And it goes with the young girls too. The young girls that loved my wife, they had access to me. And I'm not saying it was all about my wife. I'm saying, but my wife was my filter, right? She was just my filter. Like, because if a girl, I don't like your wife, but I really like you, pastor, then what is that saying? That she's tripping, right? And if she's tripping, she's vulnerable. And if she's vulnerable and beautiful, now you're tripping. I don't know if that's too straightforward for you guys. But so anyway, you have to be very careful. So are you married?
Yes.
Okay, so how she treats your wife is a very, very important barometer of what's happening there. So, but let's just say, even though she had, but she's, you think she's really, then you have to avoid her. You know, I don't mean like make a big drama or any accusations. That usually makes everything much worse. It's just, okay, I'm picking it up. I'll pray, get dominion, you know, avoid until something in that woman cools down. Remember, part of my point is you're dealing with nature. You're not just dealing with motive. You're dealing with reaction. And that makes it a little more complicated, right? Because some people, they'll get their head and say, man, I'm wrong, blah, I'm gross, yeah. Like that young girl who was embraced by that older pastor, probably was in his late 30s, she would probably been 18, 19. She freaked out, like, blah, gross, you know what I mean? And that's not what she was after. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they don't even know what they're after. They're crazy. Let me guys figure that out. Girls can be crazy. So, I don't know. These guys that go after these kind of girls, and the girl, she loves you one minute, hates you the next. God, come on, man. You better start becoming a student of life, man. Because that's the way it works. Anyway, that was good. It was very good. Good question. Hey, come on, someone else here. Comment even.
Yeah. How do you, especially in ministry, how do you handle flattery and compliments from women?
I think just handling flattery and compliments in general, you just have to learn how to be a deflector. You know what I mean? I don't mean us. I know sometimes having a problem with myself where we can't take a compliment, and that's even worse sometimes. But I just learned how to say thank you, appreciate that. You know, just low-key reactions, you know, without saying, tell me more.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you start fishing. Well, what did you think about that story? you know, I think it's in general, but sometimes with women would be the same. Like, thank you, sister. You know, just kind of like end it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But grounding it with a soft answer. Mm. With a soft, you know, thank you. And that, I'd love to learn how to do that. Thank you. Appreciate that.
For guys that are newcomers that haven't really had Christian relationships with girls, what kind of boundaries would you recommend?
If I could be very honest with you, I did not fall into fornication as a young Christian. But when I first started dating, I didn't know what I was. you realize there's a part of you that just needs to be sanctified, right? And so they, a lot of times people learn by what's, you don't know what's in you until it comes out again, and they're like, oh my God, I got to deal with this. So what you want to do is you want to teach them moral boundaries, you know, you want to teach them what the Bible says, basically. And they'll agree, oh yeah, praise God, great sermon. That was a great sermon on fornication. I love that guy. He rips us, you know. And then for a time they go on a date, their hands are all over the girl. It's because there's something, again, where I'm talking about nature here. I'm talking about that reality. It's not all on the level of what you think you know, what you like. Sometimes there's stuff in people that will manifest as soon as you get alone with a girl. And I went on a date, didn't behave very well. And I tell you what, man, I put it away for a long time, you know, a year, whatever it was at the time. But I really put it away. And then when I was ready to get serious, then I was like, okay, you're not going to be that fool that you used to be, you know. You see, it, and I'm sure, I mean, I'm not sure, but you know what I mean. But when I got saved, didn't have the discipline to date. I caught it right away and said, no, I don't want this. I don't want this. I messed up, man. Plus, you know, some sister just trying to serve God, man. You know, no, I don't want to be that guy. And I think that's a part of holiness, right? You have to say to yourself, I don't want to be that guy.
As a father, I'm just thinking, how could I approach discipling my daughter on this? Like, would that be where maybe the wife's job or their relationship, or could the father speak to that?
Yeah, well, yeah, father has a part to play. Me and my daughter, she's saved. She's been saved, and she's in Tucson. She's married to a guy named John Greer. Kevin Greer is like one of these guitar player guys, his son. Me and my daughter were very close in life, and we would talk about everything. And so it's funny. So everybody has that kind of relationship, but Jessica would be with me. I was doing our own youth way back in Las Vegas, New Mexico. We had revival kids, and so I said, I'm going to handle this myself. I'm not going to, you know. So we were still in our 30s, so it was like, what's the big deal? Anyway, Jessica was with me. I'd be teaching stuff like this. I was always, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that's what you teach youth groups, really. It's all in Proverbs. It's all there. And so Jessica heard a lot of it, so we talk about, what did you mean by that, Dad? She was like a 12-year-old girl. What did you mean? Well, Jessica, you see, guys, you know, and I would explain, we'd talk. So I believe sex education starts with the parents, but that sex education isn't, you know, how to put a condom on a cucumber. Sex education is you explaining how it really goes, how life really works. This is how relationships really unfold. And, but yeah, the moral element, the wife is the one who teaches a woman how to be a woman, how to act like a woman, what's expected of a woman. You know, like these young girls with no dads, you know, they get real bubbly around men. And so you guys can look at me like you don't understand what I'm talking about. You must know what it's like to have a young girl get super bubbly and excited and gushing around you, right? And so older women, let the older women teach the younger women. It's older women who say, hey, come here, that's not... Or, you know, when it comes to how they dress, I prefer a woman to tell another girl how to dress. Like, and sometimes a girl's not really, she's not trying to be, a Vegas prostitute. She just, she thinks she's keeping up with the fashions. You know, a lot of way women do that are not really trying that. They're keeping up with fashion. They're keeping up with each other. And they end up looking like a prostitute in the process. It's not their intent. And that's really my feeling. That's really not their intent. They're just following the wrong fashion. They need a woman to say, you need to dial that back. You need to cover that up. That's not an acceptable style here. Women are the ones who teach that. So that doesn't really come from men. Coming from men is, hey, you better get a good guy who's going to love you and stay with you, not just lie to you. And you know what I mean? That I would have had those kinds of conversations with my daughter. I think my daughter's a very pretty girl. But when she went to the University of Arizona, you know what I gave her? A piece of advice. I said, stay away from rich boys. Don't date them. Because at the time, I didn't even know whether she did serve God. She got saved right at the beginning of her freshman year. But at the time, I was just giving her advice for life because she was very honest with me. She said, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, all right. But I said, stay away from rich boys. And the reason was not that I didn't want her to be wealthy in life, is that she would be used. Because that's what they do. They just use you, and then later on in life, they make a marriage based on whatever arrangement is good for the corporation, their daddy's corporation. That's how they roll. And so I said, stay away from rich boys. Just don't date them. So that was, you know, that kind of advice, that's a life advice, that's the kind of thing I said. That sounds funny. Maybe that's a weird thing to say to your daughter. But I meant it, because I think those guys are exploitive and manipulative, and you ain't going to have nothing at the end of the day anyway. So, but anyway, I don't know how I got onto that, but anybody else? Good feedback, good questions. Anybody else? How do you handle a girl? What about touching girls? The touchy-feely types. Anybody got comments on that? Anybody ever had the experience of a beautiful girl walking in where you lose your bearings for like 5 seconds and you get a case of dyslexia and you can't read? Because it happens.
I have a question. So we're in a culture and a day and age, though, where a woman can, you know, years down the line,
oh God, yeah,
just ruin a reputation.
Yeah.
And so, certain situations have got me thinking, like, you know, right now maybe they are good girls, well intentioned, but I need to really even just make sure I'm not alone and different things like that, different environments. And I'm just thinking along those lines, like, what if their heart changes down the line and they just all of a sudden just say, hey, I'm gonna maybe attack him, and then, you know, I need to make sure. So I guess, can you talk along those lines and because I mean,
yeah, well, I think this is the, I, you know, I'm gonna give you guys another quote. This guy named George, you guys know George Gilder? He read Men in Marriage. Pastor Mitchell said that was his favorite marriage book, by the way, Men in Marriage. But he said, he's an intellectual, but he made a statement. He said, marriage is egalitarianism in the realm of love. And what he meant is saying is that a faithful marriage is as fair as love's going to ever get. Anything outside of that boundary becomes dangerous, basically, right? Potentially dangerous. Not always, but potentially. And so anytime you mess around outside of that boundary, you never know what's coming back to you. You never know how it's going to work out. You never know. And we know that, women lie. They lie like crazy. And especially nowadays, women are always the victim, no matter what. You know, hashtag me too. So anybody out there playing that with that without any sense of understanding is a total fool. And it's a very dangerous, treacherous environment. And it really is. If anyone thinks you have money, it'll set you up quick. Or, you know, if you fit into their, you know what they call them today, Chads? You know, the Chad, that's the handsome guy, the guy with the, those guys, you know, a girl just thinks, she's thinking like guys used to think. Now I'm going to get with this guy. I think he's good looking, so I'm going to get with him. And then, but once that's over, all bets are off. She could accuse him, whatever, man. So you got to be, it's treacherous, basically. It's a treacherous thing. So you have to be really careful. And this is what we're being warned about. And it's ironic that Solomon, of all people, who had so much, all I can say is that he had a large sample size of women to learn from. So and he's telling us, you better watch out, man. And I'm telling you, you guys think it all has to do with being a certain. No, it doesn't. Just devil will pick you off.
Right.
Pick you off from the cubicle. A girl, just for whatever reason, she, you know, you got to just. And here's the other thing that I'm adding, not just all those hidden motives. Again, going back to my original idea here, there's sometimes responsive reactions, a phenomenon where you say, oh, this is not healthy. You know, I need to avoid this. And then you add in all the other.
Pastor, yes, prevalent even at work, you know, sexual harassment. Even when you witness or something, you know, or just sometimes they can change, you know, turn to a lie, make it to a lie, and say, oh, this guy's harassing me.
Mm-hmm.
and we get fired. I heard that from my coworker. You know, just bad things happen. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was a situation in Tucson where a guy in ministry. He had a position in his office, and he's a New Mexican guy, but he told a girl, a young, and again, the attractive girls assume that everyone's hidden on them, right? And he called her Mija. Hey, Mija. And she reported him for that. You know, Mija, you guys, you know, hey, Mija. She goes, it was demeaning, and he was putting me in a place of vulnerability, and the psychosis associated with all that is just off the charts. And he ended up retiring early from that, and just to avoid the hassle of it all, but it just hit him in the kneecaps, you know? And probably the real issue was that she was an attractive girl who assumed that anyone to give her any sort of that, she was assuming a platform of power over those men. Yeah, no, it's that's exactly it. So I would go, to begin with, you got to be practical about it, right? I mentioned here the mind. You got to fill your mind with a biblical point of view. One of the things that you really have to program your mind to say, I don't care how beautiful she is, even if she was into me, which she's 99% chance she isn't, but even if she was into me, this would be a car wreck, a disaster. And you know, and it will just leave all kinds of pain in its wake. So you program your mind to see that, right? You tell yourself, this is how it goes. And if you start programming your mind, when you see a beautiful woman, it'll be easier for your eyes to say, so what? You know, so what? Okay, she's beautiful. I still need to get my coffee and go and leave. So it means nothing to me other than good for her or whatever. You know what I mean? You have to kind of take control of your own self in the moment, like. But that's how I would do it. I realize I believe what the Bible says. I believe I will be reduced to a crust of bread. And I don't want to be reduced to a crust of bread. So then my eyes, I send that message to my eyes. My eyes says, so there you go. I just, you know, she could be beautiful, but so what? Go, you know, move on. Kind of move on in life. And then your hands. You don't put your hands where they need. And the way you learn how to do that before you get into a dating situation, just be very careful how you treat women in general. And that'll carry over.
Being that we're all males, you know, and, you know, you can't go without being without a significant other, right? So before you can get married, you have to date somebody, right?
Uh-huh.
So how do you know when a time is right to do that, to do so when you're involved in, like, you know, ministry and you're involved in church? How do you know
when
time is right?
Yeah, you see, with that, I had to figure that out, right? I was a very young man when I got saved, so I was in high school. And but when I was out of high school, then I tried to date this older girl. It was dumb. She was into me. I wasn't really into her, but I was so flattered that she was into me. I was like, she's in her 20s, man. I'm only 19. Shoot, I must have game, you know? And so, what I'm trying to say is when I learned, I was the same stupid kid that I was in school before I got saved, I saw that about myself. So I said, I have to get away from this because I don't want to be a fornicator in the church. I don't want to be that guy. So I it was there beginning to pray, get serious. And when I saw myself, I was in a place to really get married, to make a go at getting married, being committed, having a job, having my own family and wife and family. Then I'd say, how old are you now?
I'm 38, 38 years old.
Well, I say, I was in my early 20s. I said, I'm old enough to do this, so just do it right. So that's how I'd say, I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to do this right. And so don't waste time. Don't play games. Find some.
Well, how do you know you're not like, focused on, like, you know, like, you're not getting old. I'm getting older, not younger. So it's like, who knows, you know what I mean? But how do you know when the time is right? Like,
well, I'd say, I'll put it this way. I don't know you, so I'm not, it's not a prophecy, but I would say, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. So if you want to get married and you feel like that's something you need to do, pray that God leads you, and then if you find the right woman, get married.
All right,
that's how I mean, that's like honest advice. you just like, God, find me a good woman and I'll just get married, you know, and I'll do it. I'll make it work. But it's like, in your heart, you're pre-approved, you know, like, I'll do this. I'm ready to go. I'm going to go all the way. I'll make it happen. But that's a very serious point you're making. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
Very good.
We have one more. Yeah, one more.
Nope, just scratching his eye.
Establishing a dominion over your mind. How do you deal with those like lingering, like lustful thoughts?
Well, again, to me, you have to reprogram your mind with God's word. What does God say about fornication? What does he say about adultery? What does he say are the motives? What the Bible gives us the information? How does it end? Where is it going to go? Is you have to program your mind. And you're not going to get there without mind battles. But it's the whole thing about dominion is which side wins. And so you have to program your mind to say, I know where this is going. This is a disaster. And so... You know, in a lot of ways, it's not worth it, right? You say this is even if she was into me. Well, again, I say the chances are that she is. In most cases, when you see a beautiful girl, is like 99-1, she's not. Okay, but even if it was that, then you know the disaster on the other side of it. Do you see what I'm saying? You program your mind biblically, and it's with God's the information from God's word that you understand what the outcome would be. And you have to battle that with that. That's how you battle with your mind. You use biblical thinking. You think on these things, right? You use God's word to say, okay, I know what God says is going to happen. Therefore, I'm going to trust, right? I'm going to trust what he says about it. Yeah. Amen. Last one here. Anybody? All right.
Very good. Good practical lesson. Very good questions. And thank you, Pastor Ruby. We do appreciate it. Thank God. All right. 9:30, we'll have our Sunday school.